We have been studying the book of 1 Corinthians. We're at the end of chapter 2. Our text for today is going to be verses 14 to 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 14, the Apostle Paul writes, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." These three verses are the concluding remarks of what Paul has been saying for a while. At least in this subsection. Last week, we looked at most of chapter 2. And so he's concluding now with these three verses, but I wanted to have a separate lesson on these verses because there's a lot that needs to be said. And so, but let me give you what we looked at last week and what's been going on so we know why he says this. The Corinthian church, as you know, was messed up. They were divisive. They were self-centered. They were proud and bragging about being better than others in the church. Well, I am wiser than someone else in the church. I am more spiritual, or I am more intellectual, or whatever. And instead of acting like brothers and sisters in Christ, who are to put others first, they were acting like the world, they were trying to be first. They were trying to be higher and better than their brothers and sisters. And they were boasting of those things. And they were basically acting like the world. This is one of the major themes in the book of Corinthians. They are loving the things of the world. They're fascinated with the things of the world rather than the things of God, which is a problem if you're a Christian. And so what Paul has been doing in chapters 1 and 2, he's been contrasting the things of God and the things of the world, or the wisdom of the world, what the world considers to be wise, in contrast to what God says is wise. And he's trying to get them to focus on the wisdom of God rather than the wisdom of the world, which will perish. Now, in chapter 1, the theme verse in chapter 1 was that the world, through its wisdom, never came to know God. And that's the most important thing in the world. That's the most important thing in the world, to know God. But the world, through its wisdom, never came to know God. And so God, with his wisdom, saves people through Jesus Christ and him crucified and through the preaching of the gospel. That is what brings salvation and forgiveness and holiness. That is what true wisdom is about, that matters eternally, not what the world thinks is wise, which will perish. And so Paul wants to make sure that the Corinthians understand that In chapter 2, he wants to make sure that they understand that even if they are spiritual, even if they are wise, even if they do know more than other people, that is only because the Spirit of God has revealed to them the wisdom of God. It's not that they were smarter than someone else. It's not that they had greater insight than someone else. And so, well, at least I figured things out. At least I figured out what the world is all about. At least I figured out the wisdom of God. No. The reason you know that, if you know that, the reason you know that is because the Spirit of God has revealed it to you. Otherwise, you would not. And so he is trying to take away any grounds of boasting that they may have in themselves. All right? And so he's concluding this discussion at the end of chapter 2. Remember what we read in chapter in verse 13, the last verse we looked at last week. He said, these things we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Right? What we're saying is what the Holy Spirit has taught, not what the wisdom of man teaches. All right. But here's what he has to say. Verse 14 now. He says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Who's the natural man? Well, the natural man is contrasted to the spiritual man in verse 15. Okay, so you got the spiritual man who has the Spirit, and then you have the natural man who does not have the Spirit. The natural man is that exactly. The person who is not reborn. He only has one birth. He was born one time physically. That's it. He hasn't been reborn. He does not have the Spirit of God. He sees everything just at its basic physical, material level. That's it. That's the natural man. And we are told that the natural man, the unregenerate man, the person who does not have the Spirit, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. He does not accept the things. Because Paul has just been talking about what we are teaching. He's like, don't listen to the wisdom of the world. Listen to what we're telling you, because what we're telling you has been given to us by the Spirit. But of course, he says, the natural man won't receive it. He will not accept it. He will not welcome it. That's the word. It's interesting. It's a word that you use to when you welcome a guest or something. You say, hello, come on. They won't do that. They reject it. They say, no, we won't accept the things of the Spirit of God. We don't want it. Why? Because they are foolishness to him. He thinks they're foolish. And, you know, most people don't seek out that which they think is foolish. Why spend any energy? Why try and embrace something that you think is stupid? No, they don't want it. They think it's stupid. Just talk to anyone you want who is unregenerate. And what is the usual case? You know, you talk about how repentance and trusting in Christ, you need to do those things, and they say, but I'm fine. I'm fine the way that I am. I'm a good person. Why do I even need to be saved? I'm fine. Or even if I'm not, okay, I'm not perfect. But I mean, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad that I would need a savior. Or even if I am a bit bad, I'm not that bad that God would have to send his son to die a gruesome death on the cross in my place, meaning that I deserve that? Come on. That's ridiculous. They think it's foolish. It's ridiculous. And add to that, if we want to get more into the context, add to that first century Roman world where these people knew what the crucifixion... These people knew crucifixion way better than we do. All right, these people would walk along the road, walk along the highway, and would see people hanging there, crucified, bleeding to death, all right, being eaten by the birds. All right, they knew what crucifixion was all about. It was for the worst people in the world. It was for criminals. And you're telling me that the only way that I can be right with God is by this Jewish guy who was killed on a Roman cross, and I have to believe in him in order to be saved? That's ridiculous. The world thinks it's foolishness. The natural man hears the gospel, thinks it's foolish, and therefore does not accept it, does not receive it. Now, notice the second part of verse 14. He says, so the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Notice how we've moved now from he does not receive them to he cannot know them. I often annoy Stavroula. because she'll say something to me like, can we all go to the grocery store later today? And I'll say, well, I'm sure we can, but I'm not going to do it today because I have something else to do. What's my point? The point is the word can has to do with ability. And what I'm saying, when she says to me, can we go? I'm saying, well, sure, I'm able to put on my shoes and get in the car and go. Yeah, we can, but I got something else to do, so we're not going to do that. Because can or cannot has to do with ability. And we're told that the natural man, the person without the Holy Spirit, cannot know or understand the things of the Spirit of God. He does not have the ability to understand the things of God. The Greek word is uvinate. Does vinate sounds like anything to you? Vinami, which means power. He does not have the power. He does not have the capacity to know the things of God. Why? Well, very simple. It says, because they are spiritually discerned. It means that the things of God can only be understood and accepted and recognized if you have the Spirit of God. So if you don't have the Spirit of God, you can't understand the things of the Spirit of God. Simple as that. If you do not have the Spirit, you cannot, do not have the power, the ability to understand the things of God. Look, remember what we looked at last week in verse 12. Look at verse 12 again. He says, now we, that's Christians, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? How come we have received the Spirit of God? So that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. In other words, if the Holy Spirit had not been given to us, we would not be able to know. We would not know the things that God has freely given to us. The person without the Spirit cannot know, cannot grasp, cannot appreciate, cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. Now you may say, wait a minute, but I know people who are unbelievers who know what the gospel is. You can ask an unbeliever and he'll say, yeah, Christians believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. There you go. So they know it. Yes, sure, they can articulate the words. Sure, they can say the words. But can you truly, here's the thing, can you truly understand what the gospel is without feeling the weight of your sin, without understanding that you have no hope in yourself to save yourself? Can you truly understand the meaning of the cross unless you repent and have faith? Anyone can say the words, Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. Congratulations. But the only way that a person can understand the meaning of that is if he is in the position where he's like, I have no hope. I have nothing else to hope in myself. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And then you see the beauty of Jesus Christ and what he has done. Otherwise, it's just foolishness. Paul is saying that our sin, our self-centeredness, is so great that we cannot grasp what the gospel is all about. Otherwise, we would believe it. But you can't do that unless the Holy Spirit is working in you. So the natural man cannot know the things of the Spirit of God because they can only be understood by the Spirit. Now, on a practical level, this is huge. This is huge when it comes to evangelism. I want you to think about this for a moment. If the natural man cannot receive the gospel, does not have the ability, the power to receive the gospel, then that means that our work of evangelism is not just difficult, it's impossible. By human standards. I cannot change anyone's heart. No one can change their own heart. You can go to a person and tell them what Christ has done for them, but if they don't have the Spirit, they will not accept it. So what happens? What do? Jesus said the same thing in John chapter 6. He said, no one can, same word, no one has the power to come to me unless the Father draws him. No one. No one has the ability to trust in Jesus unless God does something first. Unless the Father draws him. Unless the Father gives the Spirit so that they can discern, so that they can understand and receive it. Which means what? We are to tell everyone the gospel, but at the same time we need to be praying that God will give them His Spirit, because otherwise they will not believe. We proclaim the gospel and pray that God would open their minds, open their hearts, so that they can understand it and believe. Look at verse 15. In contrast to the natural man, who does not understand these things, cannot, he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Now, before we get into the meaning of this verse, it's not as complicated as it seems. I need to point out a couple of things here. Notice the opposite of the natural man, the opposite of the unbeliever, is the spiritual man or the spiritual person. All right. So very simply, the spiritual person is the one who has the Spirit of God. That's what we've been talking about for the past chapter. All right. The spiritual person is the Christian. If you have the Spirit of God, you're a Christian. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not a Christian. Romans chapter 8. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. End of story. It's plain. Which means, if you're a Christian, you have the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit, according to Paul's definition, you're a spiritual person. If you're not a Christian, you don't have the Spirit, therefore you are not a spiritual person. This is important for two reasons. How often I have met people, talked to people, heard people who say, oh, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in the Bible. I don't go to church. None of that. But I consider myself to be a spiritual person. Oh, I went to Tibet. And I went to a Buddhist monastery. And oh, I saw the monks there who were so spiritual. I went to this place, wherever, and I had such a spiritual experience. I consider myself to be a spiritual person because they believe in supernatural. Well, so does the devil. With Paul's definition, only those who believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have the Spirit, are spiritual people. Christians are spiritual people. Only believers are spiritual people. And this is also important, not just concerning unbelievers. Well, this is also important because in many charismatic or Pentecostal churches and settings, you have people who believe that only those who speak in tongues, for example, those ones are the spiritual ones. And those believers, even if you believe in Jesus, confess Jesus, living for Jesus, if you have not spoken in tongues, well, you're not quite on the same level. You're not really the spiritual person. You're kind of a second class there, and we're hoping that you'll become spiritual at some point. No. According to Paul, the definition, a spiritual person is the one who has the Spirit and thus believes in the gospel, the Christian. That is the spiritual person. Now, of course, there are some Christians who are more mature than others. That's not the issue. But you don't have, according to Paul, you don't have a person who is a Christian who is more spiritual than another in the sense of being in some other greater category of Christian. There's no such thing. You're either natural man or the spiritual man. You're either a believer or an unbeliever. Those are the only two categories. So back to verse 15. What's this talking about? He says, but he who is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is right, is judged by no one. The translation is a bit weird. It's a bit difficult. In the previous verse, the last word, which was discerned, the natural man cannot know these things because they're spiritually discerned. That word discerned is the exact same word that is translated judges or judged twice in verse 15. Okay? Same word. So it's like saying, that man can't understand the things of the Spirit because they are spiritually discerned, while the spiritual man can discern all things. Then you can't say, but no one can discern him. The word anakrino in the Greek, it can mean to judge, to evaluate, to assess, to examine, to look into things. The natural man can't understand these things. The spiritual man understands all things, though no one, probably referring to the unbeliever, can understand him. Here's what I think this is talking about. I'm not going to be dogmatic, but I think this makes sense. The natural man, we have just been told, cannot examine, look into, discern, understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Alright? He cannot understand them because he doesn't have the Spirit. What can he understand? Well, he can understand the things of the world. Of course he can understand the things of the world, but he cannot understand the things of the Spirit. In contrast, the spiritual person can understand all things. When it says all things, it doesn't mean every single thing in the world. It means he can understand both the natural things and the spiritual things. You know, none of us were born Christians. If you're a Christian, you became a Christian. We have all lived at a time when we were just like the natural person. All right, so we can understand how the world thinks. But we can also understand the things of God because we have been given His Spirit. The natural man only has half of that. He can only understand the natural things. He cannot understand the things of the Spirit. All right? And likewise, we can understand why the natural man thinks the way that he does. The natural man does not understand why the spiritual person is thinking like this. It doesn't make sense. And so, look at it that way. The natural man cannot accept the things of God because they are spiritually understood. Now, the spiritual man understands all things, though he can't be understood by the other one. For, verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. He's quoting here from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah, in this passage, was talking about salvation. He was talking about how people can't figure out, don't know what God is going to do to save them. And so when he says, who has known the mind of God, who has known the mind of the Lord, who has known the mind of Yahweh, he is saying, who has understood the way of salvation, what God has planned? That's what it's talking about. And in its context, if you're reading Isaiah, who has understood the mind of God, you expect the answer to be no one. We don't know. But Paul makes the remarkable statement, but we have the mind of Christ. Just as above earlier in the same passage, remember we talked about this last week, he said, eye has not seen nor ear has heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but they have been revealed to us through the Spirit. Likewise, now he's saying, who knows the mind of God? Well, those to whom he has revealed it. Those who have his Spirit. And we have the mind of Christ. Interesting little, just as a side note there, how he's just switches like that from the mind of Yahweh to the mind of Christ, equating the two, because Jesus is God. But what's the point of this passage? There's lots of little bits and pieces and interesting theology that you can get from these verses, but what is the main point? Why is Paul saying these words to the Corinthians? He is trying to show them. Remember, these people are full of divisions, thinking that they're so much, they have these illusions of grandeur, they think they're so much better than everyone else in the church. And he is trying to show them the vast chasm that exists between the person who has the Spirit and the person who does not have the Spirit. And the person who does not have the Spirit does not have wisdom, does not have eternal wisdom, does not have the wisdom of God, cannot understand it. The person who does not have the Spirit is limited in his understanding, because he only understands the things of the world. He does not understand why these things happen. He does not understand the spiritual world at all. Nothing. He doesn't get it. And so Paul's point is, why are you so in love with the things of the world? Why are you so attracted to the wisdom of the world and what the world loves and what the world is trying to follow, when not only is it coming to nothing, but they don't get it. They don't understand what the world is all about. They don't understand true wisdom. Why would you be seeking that instead of the wisdom of God that a spiritual person has? Let me close with one verse. We'll close with this. 1 John 2, verses 15 to 17. The Apostle John writes, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world," like what? "The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and so is its lust. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.